Yeah. JKB. Infographics bringing the news that you never heard about. And he's not on the tube, only internet for word of mouth. Supplying you with a daily dose of hardcore truth. The real news update that educates the youth. Realize you are slept. And that you have been kept in a dumbed down state of mind by the media. Unless time to open up your eyes to the lies that you affect. Support a straight up facts, tune in to Infographics. Available from state to state, all across the nation. The people will be facing the government's false flag operation. You never ever seen anything like it on TV. Infographics is bringing the facts for making the people see it free. It's easy, just go to whatthefuckreally.com is the place to get informed. Believe me, the WTF. RLI.com, where the untold news will damn near hit you like a bomb. This is where you hear about the governmental scheme, the evil plans of evil banks and men behind the scene. Every day, bringing your way different guests and services. Check it out on YouTube, Facebook, RSS, and Twitter. Discussing the topics that'll get you open-minded. Real eyes realize that had you blinded. We're seeing full-fledged federal false-flag fantasies. And after the attack, the fully stated the remedy. Covering the current economic collapse. And what is in your food? Ever ask yourself that? Secret black budget, CIA operation. Petros, martial law, and ESA molestation. Did you even know that we're now at war with Syria? That you need to prepare for mass hysteria. People are waking up for revolution every step. Iran is up next, stay tuned at Infographics.
This is Illuminati Exposed Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and thank you for joining me on the InfoTrap. I don't know what's going on here. We got some technical difficulties, but we've got a hell of a show for you today because we have Fritz Springmeier, author of Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and we're going to be talking with a good roundtable panel. I believe Fritz is on the line now. Fritz, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. You're loud and clear, man. It's good to have you back on the program. I appreciate you joining me.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so the last time we spoke was about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I think, on the air. And, you know, we talked a little bit about just some brief history. But, you know, this new radio show that I'm with, or this new network that we're on here, with the Illuminati Exposed Radio, there's a lot of questions that people get. There's a lot of questions that we get that people send in to us that are, you know, some basic things people, you know, the type of questions that people get when they hear about this for the first time.
Right.
And you know, these are some of the things that I wanted to talk with you about and let you help, you know, some people clear it up, because it's easy to watch a video and to, you know, pull in some knowledge, but, you know, sometimes it's not quite tailored to that individual's particular question. So, you know, there's a lot that we can cover today, but, you know, like I said, Fritz, you know, tell people a little bit about yourself. You are the author of Bloodlines of the Illuminati, a very extensively researched body of information about the elite families ruling literally this world.
Yeah. I wrote 7-book series on the Illuminati, and I spent a number of years working with people that had been in the Illuminati that were wanting to break free of it. It's not an organization that you just walk away from. So I'm very intimately aware of what the Illuminati is all about. The word Illuminati is kind of a hip word, as you know, Baron. A lot of people are getting Illuminati symbols tattooed on their body, and it's a cool word for the newer generation. They really don't understand what it's all about. If they understood that these are the masters that want to enslave and kill us, they wouldn't be so excited about putting these symbols on their bodies. The bloodlines of the Illuminati, which are sort of like tribes, that's another way of looking at it, is tribes. They go way back to antiquity. These are the power brokers. These are the elite, the aristocracy that's ruled us common people, made us into slaves and serfs. And they consider themselves through their witchcraft and their rituals, they consider that they're elite and that they have been illuminated to divinity. That's where the word Illuminati comes into play, is it's their concept that they are gods, they've been illuminated to godhood. The rest of us are just peons. So the Illuminati itself, the entire structure, is worldwide, and they have created branches. And one of the branches that they created was the Bavarian Illuminati, which ended up getting exposed about the same time that the United States was being founded. They were coming into existence, but within a few years of being founded in 1776, they were exposed. And they were exposed by one of the leading scientists in Europe, James Robison. And one of the branches that they created here in the United States, that was a chapter of the Bavarian Illuminati, which in itself was a chapter of the Illuminati itself, was the Order of the Skull and Bones. They also created some other secret societies like Scroll and Key and a whole number of others. But the Order of Skull and Bones is the one that's the most famous. And if you look at their membership, you know, we've had presidents, senators, representatives, all kinds of people that are in positions of power to make decisions. And you look at Prescott Bush, who was the grandfather of our recent Bush president, President 43rd president. Prescott Bush was active in financing Hitler. So these people are not nice people. These people are creating wars. They're creating friction between the different races. You know, you look at the connections, and there's several tiers of connections, but you can start following the money, and you can see how they're creating racial tension. You know, this is what we're looking at here. People that are
and really we're on the edge of that right now with this Zimmerman stuff.
Right, exactly. They're exactly, and that's why I brought it up, is that a lot of the listeners are probably seeing how the news media and other things are agitating the situation. They're trying to create racial tensions. They're trying to divide us all from one another. You know, divide the women from the men with feminism, on and on. They have all of these methodologies or these issues that they use to divide the common man from each other. And then they get us to turn against each other and destroy each other. Instead of turning against the eye of the pyramid, we're down here fighting each other. It's a control mechanism, divide and conquer.
Now, with the way that this is starting to play out, you know, for a while, it looked like it was being hyped, of course, for a while. Will there be riots? Won't there be riots? What are the police going to do? There's these reports about out of the Department of Justice that they were trying to kind of whip up the situation. And, you know, what I find is that in talking to people in person and people that don't really watch the elite-controlled media, a lot of people, they care, but they don't care because they realize that the racial discussion, you know, of course, there's still, I mean, racism is rampant in America, but the end result of it, the people and the way that they interact with each other in their life, they still try to, for the most part, avoid that. And, you know, it's this wedge that keeps getting, you know, driven between people.
Could I weigh in here?
That's true. Left to ourselves, left to our own devices, a lot of people would just learn to get along with the people around them. But it has me concerned because you look at Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia had a lot of races that were living in tension, but they were living peacefully. And when Yugoslavia broke up, I mean, you had several genocides occur. the Serbians against the Muslims, you know, they just went all out and just became literal demons in trying to genocide the Muslims that were living in Yugoslavia. It can get really nasty really quick. And unfortunately, people that are decent, when they get into those kind of situations, a lot of time people just go with the flow. You know, they go, okay, well, this is my race, this is my group, and they just go along with the flow instead of taking the moral high ground and saying, hey, this is wrong. These are people, and I'm not going to they're people like me. They're people that I grew up with. They're my friends. I'm not going to go and genocide them. But unfortunately, historically speaking, most people don't have the moral fiber, they don't have the backbone to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to go along with this. They allow themselves to be manipulated. And that's what these elite have been doing with us for many centuries, is manipulating us. Manipulating us on many different levels. They've got a total mind control, trauma-based mind control that I've written about, that they use on their own people, and now are taking this trauma-based total mind control and extending it out to the population in general. But they also just use the media just to distort things and control us, just using common garden variety, I guess you could say.
Right. It's very subtle in different ways, and there's levels to it. We were supposed to have Vinnie Eastwood and MC Maat on in the second hour, but they're with us now, and yeah. You know, both of them are kind of nodding along, you know, with pretty much everything you say on video here. Vinnie had some burning thoughts he wanted to go ahead and inject on this topic.
Yeah, this topic's quite interesting because if you talk about this as a white guy, you know, and the racism issue, you get demonized and you get called a racist, which I think is actually quite funny. You know, white people can't talk about black people, men can't talk about women, sick people can't talk about medicine, laymen can't talk about law, the poor can't talk about business, and so on and so forth. And all this is just a mechanism to keep people fighting with each other so the super elite billionaires can get away with exterminating us and making off with all the fracking money and power, you know? And what's more offensive to you? One African-American child being murdered and highly publicized, or Planned Parenthood deliberately exterminating 80 million babies and keeping it out of the news? You know, Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood, is like quoted as saying, "Oh, we don't want the Negroes to realize that we're exterminating them." Okay, and at this exact same time, you've got all these liquor stores and gun shops that are literally being put around in every single black neighborhood, and it's just basically trying to destroy African Americans' culture and ability to even survive in the first place. And in the so much, in fact, that now in the 513 days since Trayvon has been killed. And the verdict, 11,106 African Americans have been murdered by other African Americans. And I get accused of being racist for putting that up as a statistic. Right? Literally. If you use statistics, you're now racist. It is the new lynch rope. Oh my God, the white man's using statistics.
Well, you know, the statistics are the ultimate point of fact that really cannot be argued with. It can be explained or it can be, you know, discussed, but it cannot be argued with at that point. And that's the reason that, you know, the division over it exists. Fritz, like I said, one of the things I really want to cover today is a little more of the wordplay we were talking about earlier, because, you know, you were so spot on with what you were saying, and a lot of people are really having trouble. You know, we get a lot of messages at Illuminati Exposed asking, you know, hey, I'm new to this. Can you explain the Illuminati to me? Can you explain, you know, what's the deal with the Masons, and what's the deal with, you know, all these secret societies? And you know, you were right on with the wordplay, because people think that the Illuminati is one big, large conspiracy, and it's, you know, one big card-carrying society. It's not necessarily that, but the bloodline is your membership to a degree.
You're wanting me to pick up on the subject? Okay. Yeah, the bloodlines is the heart of things, and for a number of different reasons. One is the trauma-based mind control that they carry out, this total mind control that turns a person literally into a robot. It works off of the ability of the mind to create multiple personality disorder, but that only happens if you are very intelligent and your mind is creative enough to dissociate to that degree. Most people, if they're heavily traumatized as a little child, will just simply die. And but their own bloodlines have been doing this to their own children for so long, and genetically they pass on the ability to dissociate. That's one reason why the power has that they have to keep the power within their own bloodlines is simply because those are it's their own children that they're able to make into robots. And this whole thing is monstrous.
I think the word diabolical comes to mind.
Trying to find here to talk about how everything is so tightly controlled. You know, people think that God is authoritarian, but actually it's the other side. The dark side is our control freaks. Everything has to be monitored. Everything has to be watched. That's why their symbol's the all-seeing eye. They're trying to be everywhere, watching everything, you know, with their satellites and their cameras. And, you know, you go to certain towns in England or Salt Lake City, they've got cameras everywhere. Everything's being watched.
Exactly.
This is your all-seeing eye. You know, that's what the all-seeing eye represents, is we're going to watch everything that's done on the internet. We're going to have our spies everywhere. We're going to have our national security agency watching all of you.
Right, because anything
so everything's tightly controlled.
Because anything that goes against that narrative starts to unravel the whole thing. Before we get too far away from trauma-based mind control, MC Ma'at's got a question for you.
Yeah, could you explain a bit more how it works, the trauma-based mind control, and how it's put into action to actually control people to do certain things? Because I read a bit about it in your book, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a bit more.
Sure. The mind control doesn't use just one technique. It uses all of the techniques that they've ever been able to discover, some which we don't know about, and all that we have discovered throughout the centuries and thousands of years of man existence. All of these methods are put into a sophisticated package, but the foundation of all of the mind control is called trauma, because approximately at 18 months, they take a child at around 18 months, and the child has been love bombed, so it's had a pleasant life up until this time, and then they severely traumatize it to the point that the child gets what would be called a psychotic break, and the child splits, the mind shatters into thousands of dissociative pieces, and then they program those dissociative pieces to come up with multiple personality disorder, which has been renamed DID, dissociative identity disorder, by the therapeutic community. But I prefer calling it multiple personalities, because that's easier for the common person to understand. And that's what they do, is they create different personalities, splinters of the mind, and they turn the mind against itself. So the person can't even control their own life, because their mind has been divided and conquered. And they go in and program each of those little pieces, and they'll set up front personalities to hold the body, but they'll create deeper parts that...
Oh, we've seen lost Fritz there. He's dropped off. He's absolutely right there, because the mind is a very, very complex place, and a lot of people don't realize just how skilled the Illuminati are at manipulating it, because you've got chemicals, you've got propaganda, you've got your upbringing, you've got the public education system. Essentially, Fritz, I think one of the points that I'd like to raise here is that you get born into this system that is created to mind control you, and it becomes increasingly unlikely as the agenda keeps getting implemented day by day more and more, that people will wake up, that people will resist the programming. However, it's not impossible by any means. A friend of mine told me...
The thing Fritz was talking about is this is what I read about, is they kidnap little children and they actually make their minds split into different personalities so they can be programmed. And I believe some kids are even programmed to act as sex slaves for the elite at certain...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I think you're back on live.
All right. That was frightening.
I've got no idea if we're live or not, but we're all on the conference call and the blog talk is still rolling, so let's go back to it. With mind control, and there's two sides to it that I'd surely like to discuss. The active side of it, where you're targeting one individual person, and then this passive side that seems to be taking over society, because the way that the minds of the youth that are being basically terraformed into this new society, the brainwashing in cartoons, the stuff that's going on in the news, the commercials, the entire way that society is structured for this materialistic culture that basically feeds people into into the territory of sociopaths, headed for psychopathy. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the techniques that work on the micro with an individual through the trauma-based mind control, a lot of the same techniques can be extended to the general population. It doesn't control the general population as tight as the total mind control, but it does the job pretty effectively, as you notice.
I think because we all get into that herd mentality, don't we? So that we get afraid of waking up because everybody will call us crazy.
Who is this we? Who is this we you're talking about? I'm not
the royal we,
right? Bottom line,
the Queen Elizabeth we.
I mean, Fritz is exactly right. It's not completely controlling, but it does. It checks the conversation that is allowed in public, so to speak. Certain things are, it puts everyone's public conversation and mind in a box to where it keeps it locked inside of that paradigm that is displayed on TV. So even if you are knowledgeable and wish to help other people break out of that, you're talking about a web of buzzwords and propaganda that prevents you from talking about the things that are real.
The worst part for me is knowing what they're going to say before they say it. And hearing them quote the media as though it's gospel.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I would throw out there for us is when people think of mind control, they have the misconception that these programmers are coming in and making their mind do something that their mind doesn't want to do. The programmers know very well in intimate detail how the mind likes to go, and then they take advantage of that. So to make an analogy, like if you're in martial arts, instead of blunting the movement of your opponent where you totally negate it, what you do is you take that motion and you take that motion of your opponent and use it to your advantage. And so that's what they do with the human mind, is the way that the mind naturally goes, they just enhance it to their benefit.
See, I always thought misconception was a beauty pageant for pregnant women.
Ba-dum-tsh. Vinny Eastwood, live on the Comedy Show. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about mind control. We've talked a little bit about the wordplay that confuses people. You know, for some things, for practical pieces of information, what would you if you could break down your book and your videos? You know, we've got the one specific video of you at the Prophecy Club in the description of today's show. I don't know if people watched all of that, but that pretty much covers most of your book. You know, of course, there's information in the book that's not in the video, but you know, if you had to break all that down for people in sort of a crash course, what would you tell them now? Discuss a few of the families that some of the names that people will recognize, because people are, immediately attached to the Illuminati in terms of the way people say it, is the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers, and for people that don't understand the families and the bloodlines, just break that down for us real quick.
Okay. Well, when we go in and look at the decision makers in the United States, and Florida State University did a long-term study. The study was done by their students, and over quite a long period of time, where they are trying to identify the key decision makers in the United States. And they realized that across the board and everything, there's only 9,000 of these people that are making all of the important decisions. And if you look at who these people are, you'll see that they belong to a network of families. They're related. You know, a lot of times some of these families are marrying cousins or second cousins. And then I went through and I showed how our presidents, our U.S. presidents, are closely related. I have a genealogy chart in the Bloodlines book that shows how 25 American presidents were closely related. So the decision makers, the powers, are going back to a small clique. You look at your corporations and you'll see interlocking directorates. You might have some Illuminati kingpin, and he might be sitting on 24 directorates. You know, he's the CEO of this corporation, and he's the director of that corporation.
Yeah, and he's sitting on tons of different boards.
It's a small group. And
right. People don't understand exactly how those work together, because sitting on the board of a major corporation, that's a big deal. You know, the way that these the decision making goes through, and how people don't really see the large decisions being made. They just kind of happen and they're way behind it, even though those decisions had been made, years ago in some cases.
Mm. Interesting case in New Zealand now, where our current Prime Minister, John Key, used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York as a Forex trader. He's the head of derivatives trade for Merrill Lynch in Europe. And you know how he makes legislation now? With a phone call. No meetings, no records, no nothing. He violates every single Public Records Act that we have in this country, and makes deals over the phone like he's still a Forex trader.
That sounds about right. You know, it's digital technocracy.
I have another question for you, Fritz.
Okay.
If these families, the top families, are really controlling all things and ruling the world, do you think there's a way that they can be stopped and we can reverse this somehow?
Well, only God himself has a clear picture of exactly what's going to happen as far as the future. Anything is within the realm of possibility. I I sincerely believe that evil contains the seed of its own destruction. I've seen that happen many times. You know, give enough rope to someone who's evil and they'll hang themselves. And so the Illuminati certainly have plenty of rope. And you'll notice them doing a lot of things. Like, for instance, they came out with the Internet. Well, the Internet is to create a world mind, a world brain. They want us all to join the Internet and become part of this big, large, controlling computer brain that they have set up. But as all of us here are aware, the Internet's kind of backfired on them.
Yeah, it's gotten away from them.
Yeah. So, you know, give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. And I believe that good outwins evil in the long run. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. So I just encourage people to stay on the side of good, take the moral high ground. When people have the moral high ground, it gives them incredible power. And another aspect of things, which I know it's unpopular to talk about, but there's demonology, you know, there's spirits that control people, and that relates to the mind control too. That's one of the aspects of the mind control is getting people heavily demonized, and demons are almost self-destructive. You'll see people that get heavily demonized will self-destruct. There's definitely a lot of reason, a lot of cause to have hope. But as to the specifics about how it will all play out, you know, I don't have any answers that way. I just encourage
prediction
people to do what's right.
A long way off, you know, and that's one of the things we get into consistently on the show is exactly where this is going, and people want to know what's going to happen next. How can I prepare myself? Well, you prepare yourself. You stop eating crap food. You stop eating this GMO stuff. You detox. You work out. You go outside and enjoy.
Exactly.
You connect with people. You know. You rehabilitate yourself, your spirit, everything that is natural in this unnatural world. And you know, a lot of people send us questions all the time. You know, because they have such a fragmented understanding, and they want to be better, but they're unsure of how to do it. And that's one of the ways that you can get back to, you know, your more natural state.
Exactly. If you stay healthy, just staying healthy is fighting these monsters, because they want us unhealthy. They're creating all kinds of programs to genocide us. If you just stay healthy, you're fighting them.
it's funny because if you think about it, it's like every single direction there's something coming at you. So you've got the chemtrails from above you, you've got the fluoride coming out of your tap, you've got your radiation all around you from electromagnetic pollution to Fukushima runoff. You've got vaccines in your being promoted and being chucked into your bloodstream and so on and so forth. You've got your mind control television. You've got your BS kind of entertainment factor type shows. Like, I don't know about you, but these reality TV shows are the bane of the existence of humanity. You know what I'm saying?
Literally the bottom of the barrel. I agree.
Every single time. You turn on the television, doesn't matter whether it's day or night or anything else, you get a cooking show or a singing show, and that's right. It.
Well, there is no more TV. The only TV that was left, if you think about it, you go back to the 90s. What did you have? You had sports, you had news, you had sitcoms.
You had the X-Files.
Yeah, and really, that was too dangerous because it was getting people to think too much. And, you know, there was too much real information in there. But, you know, all that is left is reality television. And you're right. I mean, it has warped people's minds. I think we lost Fritz again. I don't know.
Well, I just watched a documentary the other day while we were waiting for Fritz to come back up called How TV Destroyed My Life. and is done by a comedian, an English comedian. Welcome back, Fritz. I was just saying that I watched a documentary the other day called How Television Destroyed My Life, and we've been talking about reality TV here for a second. And it turns out that if you're watching, say, an architecture show, and you see all these beautiful homes and things like that, what it does is it actually doesn't entertain or help people to think about, you know, what they're going to do for their homes or whatever. What it does is it actually demotivates people, and they get really ticked off that, hey, that person's got a really nice home, and I don't. You know, am I supposed to have something like that in order to be a proper person? Am I supposed to cook a meal like that off of this cooking show in order to be happy? And you know, what's funny is people will sit down and they'll absorb themselves. They'll watch architecture show, cooking show after cooking show, singing show after singing show, reality game show after reality game show, and they never build a house. They never cook a fancy meal. They never sing a song, and they never play a game.
And people are slowly being put into a smaller and smaller box, getting them ready for this Agenda 21 world. They're becoming more and more reclusive, sticking with their technology. You know, you look around in America, everywhere you go, people are looking down at their cell phones, and we've built these digital, or we haven't, but these digital walls have been built for us. Yeah. That keep you in a prison and keep you from, you know, noticing the natural spirit of another human being. You know, the way that people interact with each other, and you know, more to the point of what Vinny was saying, it bringing those two things together, it pulls people back into a very reclusive state where the mind doesn't really appreciate the world that's around them and the people that are around them. Would you say that that's fair, Fritz?
I don't know if Fritz's still there.
Fritz, are you still there? Can you?
Okay, yes, I'm here.
Did you hear the question?
I'm here, guys.
Okay, I have something to say about the technology of the smartphones and everyone using social media. It seems to me like I saw a group of friends sitting in a bar all together, and it looked real cozy together, but then I looked closer and they were all just staring at their screen in their hands, being, you know, on the social media, but they had their friends right beside them and they weren't even conversating with them. So it's pretty crazy how those technologies really distance people from being or interacting socially.
Well, that's why they call them cell phones, because now they own yourself. And what I long for is the times when people were smart and the phones were dumb.
Well, those trends yet again are getting more and more extreme. That seems to be the divide, and you know, people ask whether are people waking up or are they getting sleepier or you know whatever. The way that this works, you know, it's all math. It's the society that has been created. It feeds on itself. It's a never ending cycle because you know in the sense that you know the universe is this series of duality, the series of ones and zeros and on and off switches. You know, you either went left or you went right, or you did make that call or you didn't, whatever it is. The way that people live, it's a matrix, like I said, that feeds on itself. And you have some people that are getting more and more distasteful with the system and naturally wanting to wake up, but aren't maybe reaching the points of information that will help them wake up. You know, so you have two, probably more than two, but you have a pocket of people, the large population, that is getting more and more indoctrinated, more and more, you know, brainwashed, and you have more and more people also seeking out the answer to that brainwashing. You know, so it's creating these huge fault lines. It's creating more strain on the society itself, and that's also helping it feed on itself more.
Mm. Have you noticed though that people have become so weak-minded that in order to wake somebody up, well, let's say you wake somebody up and you let them know that 9/11's an inside job, and they haven't actually gotten any smarter, they just now know that 9/11's an inside job, and they still don't know how to discern fact from fiction, lies from truth, honesty from scumbaggery. Have you noticed that? there's plenty of people in the truth movement who know technically what's going on, but they're still really dumb, and they don't have any idea how dumb they are.
Well, and that's another problem, is that they get out there and they're spreading either more misinformation, or they're spreading they're spreading more of the propaganda system without knowing it, and it's creating more and more confusion, like some of the messages that we're getting in the inbox, you know, because these, you know, memes and headlines, they'll spread around the internet very fast, and there's not a lot of fact checking. There's not enough discernment, and you know that really the alternative media in a lot of ways is really no better than the mainstream media, because you have a bunch of clowns that are in it that just want to get up there and want to have a radio show and want to have a website, and you know the
well, thank you, Baran.
Well, of course, if I was talking about you, you know, you wouldn't have been on the show. but you know, bottom line, that there's, I mean, you know, there really is a small percentage of people in the alternative media that understand exactly where we are, where we're going. And even if you know, I don't know everything. I don't pretend to know everything. But I know what's not happening, and I know what questions I should be asking. Or, you know, it leads you to a point of, you know, it's just a matter of thinking. And, you know, the sad truth is that critical thinking, especially in America, has driven over a cliff because of many different factors, and you know that's the only way that people can get out of this is through critical thinking, you know, and you know, part of that, we can help them spur their mind onto you know, back onto the right track, but you know, it's up to them to take it, you know, and the other side of that is we have to give them good enough information, give them good enough access to it to, you know, to shake them out of that brainwashing.
I do think you've got a very good point there.
Listen, what were you saying, Fritz?
Oh, I was going to say, also, Baran, it's important for, you know, truth is a spiritual issue. If people don't love the truth, if they're somebody that habitually goes around and lies, then they're going to love lies. They're not going to love the truth. And so they're going to feel comfortable with other people's lies and fiction. And so becoming a true truther is a spiritual issue. And that gets back to what you were saying about people working on themselves. They need to come to a point in their life where they love the truth, where they're purifying themselves. And at that point, then the spirit of truth will show them what's right and wrong. And instead of, because see, with our minds, it's hard to get all the facts and details about something. But when you love the truth, you start smelling it, and you start smelling, oh, okay, that guy's an egotistical such and such. Obviously, he's not going to be telling the truth, you know, and you're going to be suspicious of what's coming out of that person's mind. But if you're somebody that's doesn't love the truth, and he could say any crazy thing, and you're going to jump on and pass it on to the next person.
Yeah, because it's emotion and not reality, and it touches a different side of the brain.
Yeah, right. You're right. And you know what occurred to me? You've heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And the fact that Ripley's Believe It or Not exists shows how thin the line between lies and truth really is. And what you see there about critical thinking, I think, is absolutely correct. It's the only way people are really going to be able to practice discernment. The problem is universities claim that they teach critical thinking, but they don't. They actually teach people to be critical of those that can think. They teach a reductionist view of everything. And the ultimate thing, I believe, well, at least my tool that I've developed for this, knowing that the truth is very, very hard to find, is just be 100% honest and admit when you're wrong. Okay, Mark Twain had a saying, when an honest man is confronted with the truth that he's wrong, he will either cease to be wrong or cease to be honest. I prefer to cease to be wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gal, you sounded like you had a question earlier. What were you going to say?
I was going to talk about how it's hard to expose people to the truth right away and in a full-fledged manner, because somehow...
Yeah, they're not ready.
They're not ready to accept anything as truth, or it may overwhelm them so much that they are just... they have this... I don't know how you call it, but...
Cognitive dissonance.
It's in contrast with their belief system.
Right, that's the exact term, is cognitive dissonance.
Yeah,
all that they know to be true is being confronted with something that's right in front of them that it is tangible, that they can touch and see, and they don't know how to process it. You know, one thing you'll see going around on the internet a lot is that meme with Morpheus from The Matrix, you know, saying that, you know, people are still so hopelessly attached to the system that they're not ready to be unplugged. They'll literally fight you to the death as you try to unplug them. And, you know, I mean, when you break down someone's reality like that and all that they've ever known, it's a scary thing. You know, there's, you know, to even get to the point to where you start to understand these things, as you process them for yourself, not only learning knowledge, but you're processing exactly what it means, it becomes a, you know, you become... Your mind goes into very dark places because you think about the consequences of that and what these people are actually doing to the world, and it, you know, it's that proverbial point where the abyss starts to stare into you, because, you know, I've experienced it myself. You know,
you get it inflicted with this depression crossed
right.
with rage, and
right.
you start getting angry at everything. And everybody. The reality is, and I find this happens to be true of a lot of truthers, is that they'll start attacking the zombies, okay? The people who are mind-controlled. And it's
right.
like, you freaking idiot! What are you hoping to accomplish by attacking the zombies, okay?
Right,
think
right,
about
right.
the zombie
they're
king,
the zombie
masters.
Then they get shit flung back at them, you know? So
exactly.
You know,
can I finish this point? Because marketers say that you need to hear something at least 7 times before it starts to even register, okay? And so what truthers mistakenly do is they go out and they say, I'm going to be the one person to wake this person up to the truth. No, you can't be that person unless there's been 6 other people previous to you. The best you can hope for is that you'll be that 7th person. But the more to the point, you have to try and wake people up a little bit at a time. And just play your part, okay? You know, you see a pregnant mother there with her laptop on her baby bump or something like that. You go over and say to her something. Hey, did you know that there's electromagnetic radiation that comes out of that laptop and it's killing and it's damaging your fetus as you use your laptop? You know, just say that one thing. She'll say, "Oh, frick you! I'm a good mother," and so on and so forth. I've had 3 kids and they're just fine. Really,
yeah,
what
but
are their
30
IQs?
Minutes later, she'll think about exactly what you said.
Exactly, and I call it the info grenade. You pull the pin,
right?
You throw it in, and then you walk away and you let it blow up in their face. Okay, get out of the blast radius, because when they get attacked by when they get attached to that that cognitive dissonance, you, the person who's giving them this information, becomes the enemy. Don't be there to become the enemy.
Yeah, well, I think that people have to do their own research to find out what is the truth for them, and the truth is different for everyone. So I think it's you can give people knowledge or information, but it's for them to find out if it's true, you know. And when I read when I first read the book of Fritz, The Bloodlines of the Illuminati, I read about these pink ballets and how these elite people were sacrificing people in castles and rituals and everything. And I thought, well, that's crazy. That sounds crazy in my ears. But then after researching and reading the X-Files from Belgium, then I found out when reading the witness testimony that those things were actually true. And later on, I found out by myself that these things actually did occur, and that it wasn't some nonsense, which I first thought it was. So, and
right.
it's like, well, and it goes for it's the same for 9/11 truth or anything. You have to research it yourself to find out if it's the truth or not. And
you're absolutely right. And I've made this point another times. I can't actually wake anybody up. You can't. Fritz can't. Baran can't. You know why? Because you can't wake people up. They have to wake themselves up. I mean, you can get them out of bed, okay? But if they're still sleepy and they can't even be bothered researching, like how many people forced you like at gunpoint or whatever, to sit down and watch 160 documentaries in 6 months to deprogram?
Right.
Nobody. You had motivation, didn't you? Because you thought that the truth was really important.
Well, something resonates with that person. And what has to happen, you know, I agree with what you were saying about the marketing aspect and that people need to hear things a certain number of times. You know, but there are ways we can make leaps and skip ahead of that. And you know, the stronger information and really even a starker contrast, you know, for example, with this, with this 9/11 truth campaign, the reason that I chose the picture that I did, if you're not familiar with it, you can check out the website. It's WTFROY.com. But in the header, we have a picture of the Twin Towers, and it's one of the pictures before the second tower is hit. And the first tower is smoking, basically, already. And what happened was somebody took this picture and made it into their own artistic expression, basically, where they drew two sets of red eyes and a smile and some arms on the Twin Towers, and it makes it look like they're standing there smoking a joint, and one is, you know, laying the smoke out of his mouth. And a lot of people, when I started putting this up, a lot of people were really pissed off about it at first, and they're like, oh, how could you do that? You know, people died in those towers. I said, well, if you already know that and you already understand about 9/11 truth, then you should understand partially why I chose that picture, because it's a shock value, and shock value is valuable in that sense, because it'll give you a thousand thoughts at once. And that's part of what has to happen, is that, you know, they have to get over certain mental blocks to really understand where this is going, because, you know, they have to have those thoughts for themselves. Would you say that's accurate, Fritz?
You're broken up quite a bit, so it was hard to follow you there. But what I could contribute along this lines of what we've been talking about, if I'm coming through okay.
Yes, you are.
Okay, is to get the listener out there to think about who created their worldview, their frame of reference. You see, from the time that we were like 2 years old, 3 years old, the people around us were building our worldview, our frame of reference. And what the Illuminati does is, through the schools, through the general public, and everybody around us, culture in general, they build this worldview, and then they operate outside of that box. So just understand that this is why so much of what's going on seems incomprehensible or seems weird, is because you have this box that your mind has been placed in, and they're operating outside of that. So I know people like my father and many other people, they will look outside of that box at facts outside of their little worldview, but they won't put the puzzle together. They see all these pieces outside of it, but they won't step outside of that box. They stay inside the box. You know, for instance, the idea that the U.S. government is good, you know, that it has their best interest at heart. No, your government, your federal government doesn't care about you. It doesn't have your best interest at heart. And even though you may be getting welfare,
it's human farming. It's management to keep you from going nuts and breaking up the rest of the program. So they got to keep you at least fed enough to, you know, stay in line with the program.
I'm not so sure so much about that, but what I am sure of is that if it's officialdom and it's promoting some sort of apparatus like government, hospitals, healthcare, welfare, etc., whatever they sell you on it with, welfare is to protect the poor, hospitals are to keep people healthy, governments are to protect people, you can be assured that it's the direct opposite in reality.
Right.
Exactly. Hospitals are there to kill you. Governments are there to enslave you. Welfare is there to decrease your motivation and to destroy society and to make people dependent rather than independent. You know?
Yeah. I was reading a brief article. There was a guy, a golfer. He was part of the ESPN body issue. He's like 78 years old, and you know, if you don't know what the body issue is, basically they take athletes and they do a model shoot, you know, and basically, you know, show off their body. And this guy, you know, he's in great shape. And it was funny because reading one of the things he said, He said, if I stop moving, I'll be dead in a year. If I retire, I'll be dead in a year. And you know, there's a big, there's a lot of truth to that, is because if you stop having the will to live, then you know your body is going to want to stop living. You know, naturally, you know, I don't understand exactly why that is, but you know that seems to be the case. It looks like Fritz dropped off for a second again, but we're going to bring him back in a second because we're kind of getting away from some of the things. You know, we're having a great conversation, but some of the things that you know Fritz is really on here to talk about, we're kind of getting away from. So to bring him back around, I want to talk a little bit about these bloodlines and you know the real structure, because there's a lot of information, and to really get a hold of it, you really have to watch at least the one video. Like I said, it's about 2.5 hours long. You just look it up, Fritz Springmeier Prophecy Club, and he's it's in the description to this. If you're on the website, just go to the InfoTrap link for today's show, and the video is in there. But you know there's so much of it to really put together. Let's just cover these 13 bloodlines real quick. The Astor bloodline, the Bundy family, Collins, DuPont. Most of you recognize the DuPont Chemical Company. Freeman, Kennedy, Lee out of China, the Onassis bloodline. So you think about Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis and where that came from. The Reynolds bloodline, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Russells, the Van Dyne bloodline, and there's another one which doesn't really get talked about as much all the time, the Merovingians. So to let people put that back into framework, you know, some of those names will resonate with you. But then there's also the Disney clique, basically everything that's going on there, and Disney's one of the most propagandized places in the world. There's the Krupp bloodline with two P's and the McDonald bloodline. Some of these families are recognizable, like I said, to some people more so than others. But you know what people really get away from is, well, how does that control things? And you know that goes back to what we were talking about with corporations and how you know there's these huge networks of interlocking corporate directorates where basically you're having people from the same families or from the same agendas sitting on the corporate on the boards of multiple Fortune 500 companies. And you know really the companies, these Fortune 500 companies, it gets down to resource control, because you cannot live your life in a natural way without coming into contact with this global economic system, because literally all the resources except for water, at least in America to a degree, are controlled. Your food is controlled, your energy sources are controlled, the everything that needs to be made, you know, you cannot interact, you cannot live without interacting with this system to a degree. And in that sense, you have to limit your interaction, because that's where you start to get into exactly what they want you to to do. Fritz, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back with you. It's my connection's been rather tenuous today.
Okay,
that's okay. Gal, you got a question?
Yeah, I got a question. Could you explain a bit how these bloodlines came to power, actually?
Well, yeah. Some people mistakenly think that at some point they hijacked the system. These were the people that created the system.
Right.
You go back, like, for instance, in U.S. history, and you look at the trading companies that established the settlements in the United States, you know. The Virginia Company, it was a company that established Jamestown, you know, and then you look at the board of directors of companies like the British East India Company. The British East India Company has been intimately connected with the elite, and
they were the crown's, tools. They were the what brought the crown's influence to the rest of the world, and between right. the Golden Triangle and everything else, you're trading the drugs and the slaves and everything else. Go ahead, Gal.
Yeah, the drugs. Yeah, I was wondering because I also read about the Astors and some other families who really became big selling opium and over drug wars and things like that as well.
Right. They
sure whether.
Fritz could allow one of their the top way that they have made money over the years is what's called the carry trade. They've owned the shipping and the trade routes.
Right.
And way back, like in medieval days, you know, they were controlling the spice trade and so forth like this. They got into growing sugar in Europe where they needed to have plantations, and they were using slaves that they were bringing from Russia. But later, when the New World started being exploited, they discovered that there was a lot of real estate where they could grow sugar in the New World, and then they started using the natives here in America, as well as going over and bringing African natives back to the New World. So, that's another way that they have made money, is exploiting the rest of humanity.
Well, see, that's what it was like in the medieval days, and I believe now we're living in the fully evil days. You know what I'm saying? They really got it stitched up, yeah.
Play on words.
Go ahead, Fritz. I'm sorry.
Well, with modern machinery, it's not as obvious how they're exploiting us, because instead of having slaves out there picking the cotton or slaves harvesting the sugar, they can have machines, but the exploitation is still there. You look at Walmart, everybody loves to shop at Walmart, but Walmart's products by and large come from China, which is using slave labor. A lot of inmates are making the products that we're buying.
And even cheaper labor out of China.
So the exploitation is still there.
Now, just before we move on from that, the system of exploitation is getting even deeper, because you look at what's happening in China right now, the most widespread jobs are the sort of sweatshop 2.0, the digital sweatshop for the new millennium. You look at Foxconn. Foxconn has these huge facilities in China where, tens of thousands live there. You live there, you work there, you don't leave there, and there's, suicide nets around the building to keep the workers from going up there and jumping off the roof. I think it was like a year ago or something, Apple actually had to do some PR spin because there was that riot at the Foxconn plant where, we don't know exactly what happened, but some of the workers started getting really pissed off about the living conditions and started revolting. And, there was basically riots. The company security force had to come out and, quell that. And, it was funny, even on the financial news, that was really the only place they talked about it was on the financial news, because Foxconn affects Apple and they had to talk about that. But, they didn't even really get into exactly what happened. They just said, there was a disturbance at the factory and, blah, 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 business is back to normal now.
I can just imagine all the executives, biting their nails going, oh, the slaves are so revolting.
And even if that's some of them were, but, I guarantee you the more seasoned executives, they were sitting there, let them eat cake, because they knew there was nothing that they could do and it wouldn't affect anything, or at least not on a large scale.
They're seasoned executives, they know the secret ingredient to not giving a frack.
Right. And Fritz, we're kind of, I know this has been kind of an amorphous conversation today, but, we got about 50 minutes left in the show, so there's a lot of time, but I want you to, the floor is yours, man. What you think is important for people to learn out of all this, because there's a lot of information in your books and in the videos that you've been on, what haven't we talked about today that is good for people to know that they can start applying right now or can move them further down the path? Because, we've talked about the bloodlines briefly. We've talked about, some of this corporate structure. But, what do you think we're missing here? What can you weave in between there for us?
Okay, good question. Well, we've touched upon understanding the control mechanism that's above them. We've talked about how the corporations are obviously in control, but behind the corporations are the these elite families. And we've talked about the mind control, how their thinking has been built and is being controlled subtly. Actually, it's not so subtle once you catch on to all the control mechanisms. It's right there in your face. And if they read my books on the mind control, which they can get at pentrax.com, that's my website, pentracks.com, they'll learn more about the mind control. They'll start seeing this stuff all around them. So knowing all of that is good, but I like what you brought out about how people need to purify themselves and how they need to start with themselves. And I think of all of the things that people could take away from this program.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that Fritz was just talking about what people can take away from this program, and then he gets taken out of the program by his Skype.
Yeah.
Life's too freaking weird, isn't it?
From the not everything's a conspiracy files, this is a fucking conspiracy, because we're having an awesome conversation, and I've talked to Fritz for hours on end, and his Skype doesn't do this. So
yeah.
Touche NSA, or whoever is listening.
See, in Mexico, it's pronounced the NSA.
Yeah, right. I think we got Fritz back. You were cut off there right as you were talking about the take away from the conversation. So you're back on now.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, you're back on. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll continue then. You're having fun. I'm kind of getting the yo-yo treatment here, on and off, but that's fine. You just gotta go with the flow and enjoy life. I hope the listeners can deal with all of the interruptions. As we go through life, we experience some things constantly. Like, we're constantly getting dirty, right? But we don't give up. We continue to wash our hands and take baths. Or as we go through life, we're constantly under the influence of gravity. If we think of gravity, if we make an analogy between gravity trying to pull us down and evil trying to pull us down, but as we resist evil, it makes us stronger. As we resist gravity, it makes us stronger. And so, look at the positive. Look at how all of these tests that are placed before us are actually opportunities to grow.
Absolutely, that's a great point.
I've said for a long time that if you don't suffer, you haven't learned anything worth learning, and I find that to be a really self-evident truth. All the best lessons of my life have been the worst times of my life. You ever noticed that?
Yeah, the ones you learn hardest. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, because that's the only way you get a stark contrast as to what you've been doing versus what you should be doing, so how this never happens again, whatever that event may be.
I was having a discussion with a number of Kiwi whistleblowers around at one of their houses, and what I found interesting is we were trying to figure out how to wake people up. How do you wake people up? And I brought up the point of false flag terrorism. Okay, you want people to be slaves, so what you do is you pretend that there's some kind of an enemy for them to fight, and that'll distract them. So what if truthers did false flag attacks? What if, and I'm not talking about like terrorism attacks, I'm talking about what if you sent around some mail let's say you did a leaflet drop on an entire street, and you did your research and you found out who lives at each one of these houses, and you found out what their bank account is, and then who their bank is, and then you send them a letter with that bank's letterhead.
Targeted truthing.
If you send them a letter with that bank's letterhead saying that we're going to foreclose on your house or something like that out of such and such clause, that it'll really freak those people out, damage their calm, and if you explain in detail in that letter the practices that the bank is using and what justification they have for taking their house, even though they'll call up the bank and the bank will go, no, we're not foreclosing on you. I don't know what that is. And then they'll go, yeah, but what about this clause here and such, is that true? And they're like, well, yeah, we can take your house at any time that we want. Yes, we did make the money up when we loaned it to you, and so on and so forth. That's a truth or false flag. That would actually wake people up, you know.
You sound like a terrorist.
Yeah.
Are you a terrorist?
Well, the thing is, a terrorist is somebody who actually doesn't do false flags. False flags are what the government does. So I sound like the government.
I think that there is something to be said for advanced truthing. You know, there are advanced tactics, and that's a funny. I think that would be a funny salvo. You know, but there are ways that people can be increasingly more targeted. You know, just something like that. You know, actually targeting wealthier neighborhoods. You know, with targeted information, and so that they understand exactly how thin their existence is, even though that they're living high on the hog at that particular point. You know, people, and again, it gets back into only whether people will see what they want to see, or see what you're putting in front of them. You know, it has to be stark enough to resonate with them in their own life to get them to candidly look at their situation, because a lot of people are afraid to look in the mirror even, at this point. Fritz, more to the point of what's going on with this narrative, and just as I decide to go back to Fritz, he cuts out. So we'll come back to him in a second. Gal, what do you think so far, man? You look like you had some questions over there.
Oh, well, I think this is great that we can have this conversation with someone like Fritz Springmeier. He's a good guy. He woke a lot of people up, and he still does. So I think it's a good thing. I think we should get into some more details about the families as well, but also how the royal families play into this all, the royal families of Europe especially, and maybe the Vatican, or I don't know, maybe he has something to say about that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Some of these things that, Vinny, I'll get to you in just a second. Because I do want to clear up some more bits of terminology, because, you know, Fritz did a great job earlier talking about the word Illuminati and the difference between, the way that people, because words are, the word I say to you, you interpret that word as to what you mean for yourself. And it might not be the same thing that I'm trying to convey to you. And, you know, for example, people get really crossed up with Illuminati and Masonry and Freemasons and esotericism even. You know, the layers that are underneath it all, which really get down to it, is the study of duality and the universe and the esoteric nature of things, because it is what runs through everything, and that knowledge has basically been stolen and concealed from people. That's why the hiding of it, the occultism, literally is the hiding of that knowledge and keeping it back. For the very small cabals that are, you know, that just happen to be in charge and have happened to, you know, go to the ends of the earth to keep it that way.
I think we need to kick them in the cabals. And yes. You know, it's quite funny, you know, here we are trying to have this conversation. People turn on, they tune in, and then Fritz drops out. It's unfortunate. And I just wanted to make a point as well, considering the mind control and the destruction of the family. You mentioned one of the families is like the Disney family or whatever, and
right.
it occurred to me, and Fritz, I hope you're back now, that in Disney movies there ain't a single Disney movie that I've ever seen where both parents survive. Isn't that interesting?
That's a very interesting point.
Now, Fritz, could you explain something about the royal family of England and how they came about?
Okay. They connect in, as you guys have mentioned so far. You talked about the Merovingians. You talked about connections.
See, have you dropped out again? Yeah, yeah. See, this is the unfortunate thing, and in fact, this I want to mention this here. While Fritz's line has dropped, is that it becomes undeniable after a while, after you've been in talk radio for a while, that the Illuminati actually do turn up and sabotage people's connections. Right? You know why? It makes shows unlistenable and people turn them off. Okay?
And you know, it's about that real-time nature, about frustrating the conversation right where it lives. And, you know, because we only have 2 hours on this show, and, you know, that, you know, collectively they've taken 10 minutes from us, probably. Go ahead, Gal. What were we saying? It looks like we got Fritz back, and he dropped out again.
Yeah. Vincent was talking about Disney earlier and about parents dying in Disney movies. Maybe it's to get children conditioned to that happening. But I asked about the royal families as well. And really, if you think about it, every single Disney movie has a royal family or a royal aspect in it. If you look at Cinderella, maybe, or The Lion King, Aladdin, almost all the movies have a prince or a princess or a king or a queen or maybe even an evil queen. But in somehow they condition children at a very young age to accept this royal rule, monarch rule, actually over us.
Okay, Fritz, are you back?
So
I'm back, guys. I was talking about when I was so rudely cut off that I showed a genealogy chart that shows the royal family. Prince Charles being descended from Count Dracula. And I got some people that were upset with me because they think that Count Dracula never existed. Well, there was actually a real Count Dracula. I know that Hollywood came out with a fictional version. Am I still on, guys?
Yeah, you are. I've got your phone number in my address book, Fritz. Do you want me to call you on your phone there, and then we can connect you that way?
Okay, why don't we do that since we've only got like 40 minutes left? That would work fine since we're having problems with the Skype.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll bring the conversation back around. Vinny, you can go ahead and get him on the line because I do want to get back to what you said about Disney. The problem is that the brainwashing of it becomes it's so subtle that it not only takes shots at the family, but it takes shots at the gender roles and just the perception of other human beings, because you know, you look at the way that they distort all these things with these, you know, messed up looking cartoon characters. You go back to, you know, the 80s and 90s, the cartoon characters, you know, they might not have been human, but they weren't these grotesquely disfigured creatures, you know, compared to what you have now. You look at Monsters, Inc., and you look at all these, all these cartoons that come on, you know, Cartoon Network and whatnot, you know, which is another network that's basically wholly owned by this, you know, New World Order establishment. You know, I think the problem is that ultimately, children's minds are being fractured at a faster rate, and that has to be reversed, you know, right now, because, you know, you look at Disney movies, it's gotten worse from, I'm sure you've seen these pictures, both of you, Vinny and Gal, these, you know, they'll take screenshots out of Disney movies and show you the, you know, the propaganda that's in there where, you know, drawn into the subtlety of the scene, you know, it might look like nothing, but, you know, you'll zoom in and what looks like an arm is really a penis, or, you know, so something with phallic imagery, or something that's just something that's basically degenerate for that child's mind, which they really should not be thinking about. I don't know if we're able to get if we're able to get Fritz back this way. Were you able to get him to connect?
I'm having some trouble with the coding here. I think it's
Why don't we just go?
I think the US numbers are start with 01 or double O.
No, they're 01. It looks like we got Fritz back on the Skype. Fritz, are you there? Fritz.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Go
I'm back.
Go ahead. Let's just run with Skype. You know, I don't know if you heard what I was saying, but we were talking about some of the hidden imagery that you'll find in Disney movies, you know, or cartoons, you know, with the, you know, you'll find phallic imagery, you know, very sexual images or, you know, things hidden in the background, but are picked up by the subconscious mind, and, you know, how that's starting to, you know, fracture the young minds and push them more towards this degenerate state of also, which would lead them into not, you know, to less empathy for their fellow human.
Well, I think it also influences people, and it just destroys the family unit idea in its entirety. Because if you've look at it this way, I think children thrive on whatever examples are in front of them, and if the only example that's ever put in front of them is one of your parents dies or there's a divorce, it's not going to be very good for that child, is it?
Or tits and ass and you know, and penises and everything else, and you know, you wonder, you know, this is something
subliminals.
Else. That,
subliminals are actually highly effective. In fact, there's this dude who did a screening of a film. And within the film, just before the film even started, he did a 1/15th of a second flash of some text that said, "Forget this film." And then he asked people questions after they came out of the film. How was the film? And they're like, "Oh, it was great. It was really wonderful, you know. Who was the main character?" Oh. What was the plot? Man, I should know this. See? Subliminals are actually incredibly effective. So if you've got,
you go back to like the popcorn in the movie theater trick and all that stuff. You know, where they used to splice in images of a Coke or images of popcorn, and then you know they would enhance it with the butter smell coming through, you know, the vents and whatnot. You know, because the mind is a powerful supercomputer, and you know we are limited to, you know, just kind of tapping into that. You know, that's for another discussion, but you know, ultimately, Fritz, I hope you're still with me. The this brainwashing has completely taken over, obviously, and now it's going further. There was a cartoon that got put into the alternate media lexicon a couple of months ago. It's called Xi Zhao. This cartoon is basically it's about a boy who finds a ring from, I think, his grandmother or his like great aunt or something like that, and the ring basically gives him superpowers, but it allows him to transform into a superhero, except when he does, he transforms into a girl. And you know, going back to what we were talking about with the subliminals and all these issues in America with transgendered children, you know, I don't believe in that nonsense, because there's no such thing as a transgendered child. That's all in your mind. You know, but that kind of programming, you know, for a child to watch that, you know, as their entertainment, that's doing something serious to that child, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. One of the big things about Disney movies is they have managed to convince the general population that they're very wholesome Christian movies, and I've watched Christians, I mean, they've done this right in front of me. They've said, well, we need to have our children watch something good, and they'll put on a Disney movie that's totally full of occultism. The Disney movies have been full of occultism and kids playing hooky and broken marriages and all kinds of strange things all the way back to the 1920s. And yet, because people have been told, oh, these are wholesome, they don't to use critical thinking to really ask themselves, what's going on in this movie? They just they just accept the what everybody's told them, oh, these are wholesome movies. And then, like you guys have been saying, there's all these strange images that are coming through, subliminals as well as overt ones that are really taking us down the path that the world order would like us to go. Witchcraft is a religion, and they have promoted they have promoted witchcraft since the start of Disney, and it's not a passive thing. Witchcraft is connected to the occult and directly related to the problems that we've been talking about.
Because these are thousands of years old bodies of knowledge, which, like I said, have been occulted basically. And the bottom line is that they do exist, and people are just unable to conceive it. And now, like I said, more to the point, all this programming has accelerated, because if you look at where you look at all the documents, you look at Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, the ultimate point of the society was to have children become more asexual, either bisexual or even almost hermaphroditic in some kind of way, going down the line towards genetic manipulation and stuff like that. But we're almost here in this kind of society where we live, like in America at least, there are three genders, or maybe four if you want to split it, like that. But it seems like once every couple of weeks, there's some kind of news headline about some policy issue with a transgendered child not being able to, exist in school without some kind of problem, especially using the bathroom that, usually comes up to whether the school has a third bathroom or another bathroom that these the gender confused or gender whatever you want to call it can use without either to protect their privacy or to protect the privacy of the males and females.
I don't know about you, but the more you protect people from real life, the weaker they become.
Right. I mean, it's a fact of nature. It's. But the ultimate point of that is that it's already at this point to where if we're seeing it now, where we're having these issues with the introduction of transgender, and now the propaganda is moving to another level. Where are we going with this? Are we headed for a faster application of this program?
Well, eventually, where they're wanting to take us is shown by the book Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, and that is where the power of reproduction is given to the government, and they can produce the serial models of people they want to, and have total control.
Yeah,
so they're doing a lot of things, like you see a lot of women killing babies. Like there was that one woman over in England, that was so scary that people called a monster because she killed five children. They're wanting these kind of things to happen because they're turning us against children. Traditionally, people have loved children. Traditionally, people have nurtured children. People have wanted to have large families, and they've turned us against our nature. And eventually, we're going to ask them for what they want to do, and that is turn over reproduction to the government.
I really resonate with this because I'm the fifth of five children, and at the time, my family was telling my mother that my parents were breeding like rabbits and that I should be aborted. And my grandfather said, no, you're not going to abort my grandson. And, I was, of course he didn't know I was a grandson at that point, but the point remains, and I was talking about this yesterday, actually, because I brought up eugenics earlier and Planned Parenthood. Now, when I brought up the fact that African Americans were specifically targeted by Planned Parenthood for specific genocide, and about 80 million have fallen victim to it so far, I had all these women saying, "You have a penis, therefore you don't know anything." And I said, "Well, that's like you saying you have a vagina and you don't know anything. It's just foolish." And they say, "Well, it's a woman's choice." And I say, "Well, yeah, it is a woman's choice. And if you don't know that you're fulfilling part of a covert extermination agenda, and you do it anyway, then you're actually culpable for that agenda, aren't you? It has nothing to do with women's rights. It has to do with an extermination plot that you're being duped by. Do you get it?" And people are saying, "Oh, yeah, but there's too many people in the world." Really? Do you know what the birth rate is in the Western countries on average? 1.3 to 1.6. Do you know how much the birth rate has to be until you start to become extinct? 2.4. Okay? So if you're worried about overpopulation and growth and human beings being too many, I can assure you we're already going extinct. So be happy, and by all means. And another person made a comment that, "Oh, people, there's too many people. It's just horrible. You know, how arrogant to let people live." And I go, "Well, by all means, you first. Go ahead. There's a bridge. And if you want to kill babies, just go join the military. You can bathe in the blood of the innocent all day long." He's like, "Oh, but I don't really feel like doing that." Then you don't have any courage or your convictions, fracknut. Shut up.
Well, they estimated that that everyone can have a quarter of acre of land, which will be enough to feed themselves, and they would only need half of the room in Queensland, Australia, to fit 7 billion people on there, and they still have the rest of the world of space left. But just because the world is so badly managed is the reason that that people think we are overpopulated, while in fact we aren't really. And I think the whole global warming hoax really plays into this as well, because they make people feel guilty for breathing and leaving their carbon footprint everywhere, and it's really an anti-population or anti-human agenda which is being played out here. So
yeah, you're right, this is a point that somebody made. I'm pro-choice and you're pro-life, and I said, no, I'm pro-life, you're anti-life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Going back to what you were saying about food production, that was my dad's specialty. He made a career for almost 30 years of going to third world countries to develop their agriculture. We haven't even begun to tap into the potential of feeding this planet. And then on top of that, our government is paying farmers not to grow crops. And because of the poor prices for crops, here in Oregon and Washington, the people that have had apple orchards and other orchards like that have bulldozed them, because they're not even getting paid for the price of harvesting their crop. So we're it's not that the world can't feed itself, it's because of the poor management by the elite that are running things that people are starving.
But then we have to bring
technically it's really brilliant management, it's just not beneficial for us.
Right. I mean, it's brilliantly evil. It's a system that is, you know, set up, you know, and it's really open source at that point, where if you're evil enough and you want to join the party, come on in. You know, but the to get back to what you're saying about food production, you know, now you have this nonsense about Monsanto, where Monsanto has to come in and save the day with their genetically modified, seeds, because these normal crops supposedly can't grow in certain environments, and we can't grow enough food reliably because, you know, we need to, because there's pests, so we need pesticides, and the pesticides are a problem, so we need to put it in the food with this genetic modification. You know, but and I find it funny, you know, I explained it to someone the other day. I was on the bus, and I was talking to another African-American. Basically, he had had something to say about the food aid in Africa, and why wasn't more being done? I said, well, if you think about it, who in their right mind in corporate America would want to take away from their profits and basically donate food to starving African children, and then I said, well, what is it down to? It's down to governments to see if that happens. And it's like, okay, well, why does the government have that incentive? And you look around here in America, and they don't care about you or your family, but they care about dark children in different places of the world. Are you kidding me? And he said, yeah, you make a fair point. And so I asked him if he knew about Monsanto. And he said, no. I said, well, you're going to see that that's the future of food aid, because it's going to be a Trojan horse. So you create the problem. Africa has been, held back by hundreds of years of colonialism, and now it's going into neo-colonialism, to where that they cannot, they don't have a continent-wide food infrastructure. They have local areas, but it's not very efficient. And the bottom line is that it not only does it create the opportunity for this corporation to come in, but now they can introduce their poison products into into the largest continent on the world, and get them hooked on it, to where the system is self-feeding.
I also heard that genetically modified food causes infertility over generations.
Yes, that's been shown in multiple studies, and the studies are consistently discounted. But go ahead, Kyle.
So it could be that they use these genetically modified foods to wipe out parts of the populations over time.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you're 100%.
What did they
right.
do? They did the tests on rats, and by the third generation, every single rat that was born, sterile.
Yeah, exactly. And the not just rats. Supposedly there was a couple of studies with pigs where the pigs are becoming sterile now. But you look at the. You look at where this is going, and what Gao was saying about the progression of the program. The elites have large plans for Africa, and eventually it's going to require that the populations of individual African nations are subjugated or controlled even further from what they are today, even though that they're so far stunted already. Because the only way to get in there and really rob them is to make sure that the people have no other recourse. Say that's accurate, Fritz?
Yeah, well, I think it's even more heinous than that. I think that they've got genocide on the agenda for Africa, and the plans that I see, that I've seen in the past, were to eliminate the population of Africa and the little bit that remains, and who they bring in will basically turn the area into a plantation. It will be totally corporatized for the elite to produce whatever they need to produce without the population that exists there now.
And then the rest of it will be basically a huge corporate safari where they can go and use all their fancy toys and suppress technology.
So they can blow rhinos away with an anti-tank rifle. You ever see that video?
Oh yeah! Oh my God! Yeah, that's ridiculous. They're all it is a bunch of they're like little evil children almost.
No, see, I identify with that because when I was a child, I was kind of physically abused by my father, and I was really cruel to animals. Like I had so many pets, guinea pigs, budgies, and so on and so forth. And I killed them all, and it was really horrific. Now at this point, to kind of look back at that and realize just how callous and cruel I was to all of these animals. And what was interesting is that one of the indicators for murderers is cruelty to animals as a child. And I think what really changed that for me was the fact that I had positive male role models introduced into my life when I was 14, you know, after the divorce.
You start to get to see real men being a man, and it rubs off on you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you are what you get influenced by, I think. So if you are surrounded by positive male role models, positive female role models, so on and so forth, it matters not how you begin. That's how you're going to wind up turning out. It's inevitable. Just like being in contact with people like yourself, Barana, and Fritz and Gail, it's just I feel really improved on a day-to-day basis because the people like yourselves that I talk to on a daily basis are in some way better than I am at something. And so, in essence, there's no possibility that I can't improve as a man by being around other men who have improved themselves in ways that I have not yet.
Exactly. It's like playing chess. You can never become better at playing chess while playing against a weaker opponent. So, which is a good metaphor.
Yeah, you know, we're all mirrors for each other in that sense. And, you know, not only do we see ourselves in each other, we see them in us. And you know, the bottom line is that you're exactly right, to sharpen each other, we have to have this meeting of the minds. And I kind of want to turn that question around and to you, Fritz. If correlating with positive people will make you more positive, only the reverse of that must be true as well. If you look at the way that these beyond billionaires, these magnates, basically they cavort with only the types that have private jets or have huge estates and, are looking to send their kids to, the policy centers, get them into Oxford or get them into the Ivy League schools and places like Columbia and whatnot. But bottom line, they're, the evil reinforces the evil at that point, through very innocuous learning techniques.
Oh, yeah. The demonic transfers from one person to another. I've sat there and you can almost physically see the demons leap from one person to another, and there be a transference of this demonic evil. So let's say somebody, when they go to Groton School or one of these elite schools, they're not an alcoholic, but then they get around friends that are alcoholics. The next thing you know, that demon of alcoholism has transferred to them. So yeah, exactly what you're saying. And we're warned about that in the Word of God. It says that evil association will corrupt a person, and that's so true.
And more to the point, In the practicality of the way that these people interact and the ideas that they share, not only is it the belief system and the the plan for society and the what you were talking about with humans and overpopulation, all these things. What happens is it feeds on itself, and then they go out into the world, and like you said, they transfer this energy to other people, and no matter what your worldview is, whether you're very religious or completely anti-religious, there are beings that are not of this world or energies that are not, that are almost even bodiless. We don't know. I mean, if science studied if open science studied the impact of these, it would make leaps, beyond the thousands of years that we've already made. I think that ultimately, for people to even understand this, they have to confront some of these things. You look at every ancient culture, back into their history. Whether it's talking about the jinn or the archons, or every culture represents some sort of stateless, bodiless being that can literally infect you at that point. And you look at the way that people's minds are completely receptive to things that are, shockingly evil. It's easy to see why.
Well said.
Well, we got about 13 minutes left in the show. Do you have any what haven't we covered that you want to get into?
Let's see. What is it that we haven't covered. Continuing to, I guess, talk to the people about the positive side of things, you know, trying to encourage people to have hope, to have joy. There's a lot of things that are happening to rob us of our joy. And, it's like Christ said, he said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. And don't let the system rob you of your joy. Don't let them rob you of your hope. And I can't really get into a whole lot of how they can do that. They're going to need to come up with some of these methods to retain their joy. But years ago, I was asking myself, where's the best example I can think of where a people did not allow themselves to be stripped of their joy? And I was thinking quite a while on it and going back through, you know, because I'm a historian, thinking of, and the thing that was so blatant was, if you go back and look at the African Americans under slavery in the South, and they came up with the most joyful songs, they were so full of joy as they were out there in the field working as slaves. And even today, if you sing those songs, they're inspiring. And so one of the things that I've noticed that they've stripped us of is singing. It's the craziest thing when you think about it, but Americans have been convinced that the only person that should be allowed to sing is some icon, some media icon, some entertainment icon. Everybody else is unqualified to sing. Well, how ridiculous. It used to be in the past, everybody would sing, and music is one of the ways that we bring joy to our life. So I would encourage people to go back and sing and find songs that are joyful, not the modern songs that are so crazy and stripped of all meaning or joy. But to go back to the type of songs that they sang out there when they were working, you know, in the fields.
Their actual voices gave it that energy, which had that positivity in it, because the pitch and tone of your voice is something that you can control like a musical instrument. That's why, you know, the same way with musical instruments, specific notes will target specific portions of the body in that sense, and you know, really resonate with, you know, with specific types of emotions. And I think that it looks like we lost Fritz again, but when it comes back, I do want to talk a little bit about music, I guess, before we shut it down, because one thing that Fritz said with about modern music, he's right. You know, there is no more instrumentation in music. It's not always melodic. It's this beats. You know, especially hip hop. In America now, music is this concoction of sounds, you know, these sounds that really don't even necessarily fit together. It's just, it's not really musicianship anymore. And now there's that fake melody basically is doing things to people's mind that, you know, we really don't even know. You know, you look at Nicki Minaj is my favorite one, because she's such a demon, to put it short.
Yeah, you have Lady Gaga and Rihanna and all those ones, and they are all controlled by Disney as well and others. And it's really not only the music which is controlling and conditioning people, but it's the entire media spectrum, like the television, the radio, the music, the news, the websites. Most things are just controlled by only six corporations. And
90% of the media, everything that you watch and listen to.
Yeah, it's CBS, it's Viacom.
I find it really funny how they call it CBS, because when I watch it, all I see is BS.
Yeah. Truth in advertising. That's what it is. Really, if you look at all these different things that we talk about, you can find what you were talking about. the reverse of what it's purported to be. So it's purported to be something good when it's actually bad, and the reverse of that is actually right there in your face if you know what you're looking for.
And they're telling you what they're doing
in that sense.
Well, we live in upside down, topsy turvy land. Just in general, as I mentioned,
and that, more to the point, that's specifically the point of occultism and the
Well, not occultism, but Satanism specifically.
Right. Well, occultism being the broader term to catch all these other things that whether it's Rosicrucianism and everything else, but the negative side of this body of knowledge is the hiding of it and the perception that controlling of perception, so where it's put right in your face, but you're not understanding what it is when you're looking at it because you're told that it's something different. And that's I think the ultimate point of that. Fritz, I think you're back with us now.
Yes, I'm back for a couple minutes.
I love it how his name's Fritz, and that's exactly what his Skype is on.
Yeah. You look like you had a question. I think Fritz was listening to some of that, because we were talking about music, but you look like you had a question.
Well, I think that in music, there are now with the internet as well, there are lots of people who can make their own music and just put it out there. And there are a lot of new inspiring artists and people who speak the truth and great positive songs as well, and really musical songs as well. But they're not really well known. They're not backed by Disney like the demonic music that's on there, like Rihanna and Jay-Z and everything. So I think there's a real difference between music that just rings truth or is positive, and the music which is destructive or just talks about money and cars and things like that. So
and even more so than the lack of actual meaningful lyrics, back to what Fritz was talking about, the rhythm, the natural sound vibration rhythm of joy coming from some of those songs that you were talking about, Fritz, that's completely been lost in music, not only with the lyricism, but then with the the notes that are being played in these beats. They're not even notes anymore. You listen to, I love hip hop, real hip hop, as opposed to this nonsense that's on mainstream radio now. But you look at most of the stuff that comes out from these new artists, all the beats, like I said, are these collections of sounds which don't really go together, and you'll have, not only will you have the traditional elements of rap, but you'll have random horns and gunfire and just ridiculous sounds at any given time. And what it makes me think of is the way that people are kept off guard by it's this sound overload, to where your senses are distorted completely, the same way that you see in movies, and the way that people's attention span has been reduced in that way. Do you think that that's accurate?
Oh, well said. I appreciate you being able to address that and be able to articulate it so well.
I've actually made a couple of rap songs, and what's funny is I've got a really large vocabulary, and I'll listen to one of my songs, and it's pretty much devoid of BS. It's very intellectual, and one of the artists that actually inspired me to make these songs is an artist called Genocide from GenocideRap.com. And he has an incredible voice. He's like the Fat Joe of the Truth rap movement. And I think that what his last song was about was it was called Boom Bap, and it's about how back in the day with N.W.A. and the emergence of rap, how they were trying to look out for their communities and say things that were real and really speak truth to power, and how now hip-hop and rap has become corrupted, mindless, and all about bitches and hoes and your cannabis crop.
Well, you're completely right, and it got taken over, really, by this same cabal. You look at the, when...
They took out Tupac.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. The late 80s and early 90s was the end of the golden age of it, and it got taken over because it became too powerful. You look at what Tupac was saying, and beyond having his own, he was discussing his own political party. He was talking about waking people up. He was talking about Black Panther stuff. He was talking about, not even the violent side of it, but just the taking care of your community side of it, and inspiring people, giving people real knowledge in these.
He was brokering peace treaties with the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah. He was showing them the economics of it, and he was showing them how, he was undoing the black on black crime, the killing, and bottom line, Tupac was too dangerous for the system, and he was starting to wake people up. And then between him and even Biggie on the other side, Biggie was kind of a lesser version of that. But bottom line, what they did was they took over the record industry. That I was listening to an interview with an old record executive. She was on the Corey Holcomb show,
and 90 seconds.
She was talking about how the transition happened, and it happened. What she was saying is that it basically happened almost overnight, to where the big money Zionist interests got in there and basically took over the industry, pushed out the real people, and then they started bringing in all these artists to trot out their propaganda. And one of the people at the forefront of that was Diddy, and Puff Daddy changed his name and all that stuff.
60 seconds.
Well, I want to know was part of the, what I want to know is, did he or didn't he?
I think the question is does he or doesn't he mess with people in the butt, because that's what I heard,
I think.
But yeah, the broadcast will go over, and if you're listening live, you can catch the end of this on the podcast. But before we run out of that time, Vinny, your website is
the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news.
And Fritz, your website is on the link for this show, but it's pentracks.com.
Yes, thank you.
And Guile, your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel. It's called Protest Hip Hop.
Okay, excellent. Well, we got 10 seconds, and this is the end of the live show, but the rest of this will be on the podcast.
WTFROY.com.
Yeah, so we can get into anything else that you guys want to talk about, or we can cut it off here. If anybody's got any thoughts that they want to go ahead and put out there.
Yeah, I was about Tupac. A lot of people are scared off by him because they think he makes gangster rap or whatever. But I saw an interview with him, and he says, I'm just trying to give people an idea of what things are like on the streets. He said, if people saw the imagery of the Vietnam War, which made them protest it and made them stop the war, then maybe I can show people the imagery from the streets, from the reality of the ghettos in America, so that people can actually do something against it. And so I thought that was a good point he made, well, that's just my mind going.
No, you're totally right. A lot of people get that image of, well, he's a gangster rapper, so what could he possibly have to say? He was more articulate than most people can even comprehend. You sit down and watch some of his extended interviews, he'll discuss topics that are way above the head of most people. More
like the Illuminati. That's what I liked about him, is that in all of his research, he started out with a Black Panther background in his family. But when you start continually trying to uncover the layers, you eventually come to the core, the heart of the beast. And he was willing to go after the heart of the beast. So that's what I liked about him.
Yeah. True.
Well, he's incredibly talented, and I did a cover of California Love with my bandmate, and what I found very interesting is that trying to rap at the same pace at which Tupac rapped was like beyond me. Possible.
You better be an Olympian.
Yeah. I mean, it would be. I'd maybe get through a line or a line and a half of lyrics before I'd frack it up, and actually had to go back over and do it again, because his pace and the the complexity of the lyrics is so powerful that it's not something that you can just do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it actually took intense work in order to get that done. And that's how talented he really was, even by today's standards. And it really makes me sad, frankly, how the Illuminati take out our heroes, you know, how they die of natural causes, you know, Bill Hicks, mm-hmm. George Carlin, Tupac and Biggie, so on and so forth.
Even now, you look at what happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago with Michael Hastings, you know, like yeah. all these things that, you know, it pisses me off to no end, and you know, really, it's coming to the point where, you know, we have to turn it up here, you know, to really get back at these people, because, you know, what pisses me off is that people stand around and watch, you know, like people, you know, will sit there and watch the video, like, you know, Hastings being cooked alive in his car, you know, and. They're like, oh, you know, this is so bad and blah, blah, blah. You know, well, you know, share that. Share the video. Tell people. Start doing something, you know, because, you know, they even sit back and wait for people in alternative media to, you know, they think that we're going to save them. No, we're trying to help you save us. You know what I'm saying? Like, help you save everyone else. You know, you got to participate in this as well. And a lot of people have lost sight of that. You know, because, I mean, it pisses me off to no end. And, you know, if I said what I really want to say, you know, that people would have a problem with that, you know, and come knocking on my door. Because, you know, the time for words is quickly leaving us. And, you know, when, you know, people talk about, you know, pushing back and resistance and, you know, what can be done. It's coming to a point of just self-defense and, you know, eventually something is going to come into your life which is going to impact your health or your finances or, you know, both. And that is the time to push back. That doesn't mean, you know, kill a government agent or kill a cop or anything like that, you know, just so we're clear. But, you know, when it does come down to that time and you know, you're looking at you know, like the what happened to Todashev, the guy that was connected to the supposed Boston bomber. You know, they come to his, the FBI comes to his house to interview him, and, you know, at some point he ends up dead, shot in at least the top, maybe in the back of the head. And at that point, so, you know, you're inside this person's house, and you're basically, you're, you know, they're being snakes at that point. They're coming at you under the guise of a peaceful, you know, discussion, and then, you know, you turn your back or, you know, you make the wrong move, you reach for something and, you know, they're trying to knock you out. And it's like, let me put it, I've had visits before, and I'll say this live on air. Don't try me. Bottom line, you know, I love police out there and sheriffs and, you know, most of them are good people, but, you know, I think I'll leave it there. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Well, see, at the moment, police are being recruited not because of their empathy for their fellow man, not because of their willingness to do the right thing, not because
Of their ability to dominate.
Yeah, they are actively trying to recruit psychopathic people who are not only psychopathic, but dumb. They've got in Australia, the police policy is IQ of 105 and below. Average intelligence being about 115, 120 or whatever. And only a few IQ points below means instead of being at the front of the class and being the genius of the class, means you're at the back of the class and you don't understand what's being said or what's going on. So you have these pituitary morons who are domineering. There's also a lot of, what are they called, steroid abuse This is something a friend of mine was telling me about last night. What I found particularly interesting is the incidence of steroid abuse among police officers is now getting out of control. And people wonder why police are tipping disabled people out of their wheelchairs on the side of the road, or tackling pregnant women in broad daylight while they're just walking home with a pram or whatever.
You're perfectly right, because it gets back to this brainwashing point where, like, I'll get to you in a second, Fritz, but the it's this cartoon slapstick humor that we see on TV. You know, oh ha ha, that's hilarious. You know, when this person is actually hurt. You know, as opposed to like it. You know, it's like the translation of cartoon world to the real life. Fritz?
Yes, I wanted to build on what Vinny said. It's interesting to hear him say that, because that was what was happening here in Oregon where I live, and I was given a few of the details via one of the older cops who was talking about the people that they are now hiring, and they're in this area, they're moving the old cops that aren't like that. They're transferring them to the small towns, and the big city cops are exactly like what Vinny's talking about. So that's very interesting. The same thing's happening over in Australia.
Yeah, and it's happening in New Zealand as well. I mean, I've encountered a number of police, because I'm probably I don't want to sound like arrogant when I say this, but I'm probably the most prolific and technologically advanced coolest activist in this country. So I go to all number of different protests, cover them with the cameras, film all the speakers, and upload them all. You know, it's not about me, but when I go there, I have a 100-watt megaphone, which is generally five times more powerful than anybody else at the protest has got. So basically, I wind up leading them invariably. And what I found was very interesting is that the cops will target me and rough me up far more often than they will others, you know, because I think they're trained to pick out the leaders.
Absolutely. Not only from a tactical standpoint are they trained to pick out the leaders, but, you know, even that, it's a natural thing. The same way that you naturally lead that crowd at that point because you're prepared to lead it and you have, you know, the tools to lead them. You know, anyone trying to counter that energy, to be general about it, is going to take out the source of that energy. And, you know, that's, you know, part and parcel of what we're seeing today with you look at, like I said, specifically Michael Hastings. And, you know, what really irritates me about that is that was a message, because they did it so sloppily and so, you know, obviously to people that are paying attention that, you know, that we could tell. It was a clear message to journalists that, you know, hey, the shadow government structure is still here in your face, and, you know, we're not going anywhere.
Now, Fritz, could you explain about the police state and what the elite really want it for?
Well, one thing is they don't mind that we hate the police. Because all areas of authority that we should respect, they're wanting us to disrespect. They're creating chaos. And they're not interested in us having respect for the police. But if we fight back and we create chaos, then we're creating conditions where we can get even more control. So, that's part of the equation, is they're trying to double bind us here. It's a double bind mechanism where if you fight back, the control even grows greater.
It's interesting because how you say that, because there's two groups of people that I don't hate, I fear them. One being the gangs of New Zealand and the other being the police of New Zealand, who are incidentally a gang. And the reason I fear them is for the same reason. They're violent, they're deceptive, and they have no respect for the rule of law.
Or for people.
Right. Well, we have the same thing that's going on here. Back in, this would have been, it was 1995. I was arrested. And anyway, I was trying to advocate for my constitutional rights the entire way. And the police were mocking me that I believed in the Constitution. And this was back in 1995. You could see that they had total disregard and contempt for the Constitution, which in theory, that's where their power derives from. And yet we've gotten to such a point that the people that are controlling us are outside of the law.
Now, you've actually spent some time in prison because of the things that you talk about and do. Could you tell us about your experience there?
Well, I got an 8-year vacation paid by the federal government. I was in federal prison for 8 years. And there's a scripture in the Word that talks about what you meant for evil, God used for good. And so, they put me away, thought that they had shut me up. And while I was in prison, thanks to the internet, my material spread even further than if I had been on the outside. So they didn't, they weren't able to stop the information that I gave the world from getting out. It continued to spread. The books that I wrote belong to the world now. And while I was in prison, I was able to work on myself. During the 1990s, I had been so focused on saving the world that I'd really neglected myself. So it was nice to get a little bit of time for myself instead of trying to help other people. And I got myself back into shape. And God used that time. I got to see his loving hand in my life while I was in prison. And in many ways, I felt blessed by having spent that time. So, good things can come out of bad situations.
Well, they have to, or they're going to get worse. And, ultimately, that people have to grow out of that because, really, you only have two choices at that point. It's again back to that duality. You either build or you destroy. And, that's in everything that you do. You're either building something or you're destroying something. And, whether that's, building your body or literally destroying evil in that sense, it sounds cliche, but if you think about it, you'll see what I'm talking about. And that duality is what, all the things that we've talked about, it's this study of science and how life exists in the universe that these people have been masters of because they've held on to that information and they've taken that and twisted it around so that not only but they've twisted it ultimately into a system below where people the sheep basically don't understand that and will destroy themselves, but the lid keeps they keep a lid on the chaos through that. And more to the point, Guile was asking about the police state, and that's where this is all going, is to not only out of the sheep, they've pulled the cops, the lower IQ end, and there's a lot of smart cops out there, but, bottom line, there's a lot of people that are not, the brightest bulbs and, were losers in high school or were, whatever, and have social interaction issues, and, that feeds the will to dominate, and then that will to dominate is basically cultivated by this system to where it's focused on people, and you have the cops kicking everyone's ass. Go ahead, Vinny. You know what I'm saying?
You're right, actually, because they don't use words first. The first thing that they do is they lay a hand on you. Okay,
right.
Like I'll be close to a cop, and instead of saying "Can you please move," they'll push me. I'll have a microphone near a police officer to just capture what he's saying. Instead of saying, can you please remove that and keep it a little further away from me, they grab my hand and they push it. They want to get their hands on you for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Because words are the discerning side as opposed to touch being the physical dominating side of that, which basically not between body language and everything, everything outside of verbal communication is what's being used, and verbal is your is the rational mind, you know, which is supposed to have taken over society, but which has been distorted.
Mm. Well, it just makes me incredibly angry because I haven't laid a hand on anybody since I was 15 years old. That was over like 13 years ago.
It makes you angry because, you know, because knowing yourself, you have to keep your cool, as opposed to, you know, because as soon as you hit back, you've descended to their level in a sense. They've brought you down.
I've said it a couple of times. The day that I will feel free, I feel like a slave right now, but the day that I'll actually feel free is if a cop assaults me unlawfully and I can haymaker the motherfracker and not go to jail, not have all of his cronies jump on me and just go, hey, you know, he unlawfully assaulted you, Vinny. Yeah, you had the right to knock him out. Go for your life. Anyway.
Well, you know, and
on that day, I'll feel free.
I mean, I agree with you at that point because, you know, really what happens is this whole it's this untouchable sense, and this, you know, like you can't even breathe on a cop, you know, without them being able to use the full force of the system to come back at you and say that you were assaulting this police officer, you know, when you know really you look at the way that they're. This just happened a couple of days ago. This photographer in Detroit was filming. You know, she was going somewhere for another story and was filming an arrest. You know, she stopped to film it, and the cop walks over to her and barely said anything, and immediately puts his hand on the camera, which was her. I think it was her iPhone or something. And not only are you touching that person, but you're touching their property, and the cop is allowed to do that with impunity at that point, whether right or wrong. And, you know, there's, of course, a social order aspect to that. But, you know, bottom line, the rights of the civilians are often trampled on by the police with no recourse for that civilian. You know, and they're kicking your ass on the way to the jail, and you have no recourse. And if you do, you're going to get really locked up.
Well, people
have experienced.
Gail, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I've experienced things like this as well. I was walking with my brother one time on the street, and out of the blue, cops jumped out of a car which wasn't marked as a police car. They jumped on top of my brother, and I started filming immediately with my cell phone, and I was asking, why are you arresting him? Why are you arresting him? And my brother as well. He was screaming like, what's going on? What the hell? And then the cop said, oh, shut your mouth. You'll hear it when you get at the station and everything. But then they noticed me filming it, so they went to me and they say, oh, I'm taking this. There's this, they use the term for it in Dutch. I don't know what it's in English. But anyway, they took my camera and they deleted the actual footage of him being arrested for nothing. And then my brother said, oh, you're like a bunch of Nazis. And then when he got to the station, they told him he was arrested for calling them Nazis. But that was after the fact, he already got arrested. But
right,
it was just crazy, you know. And I live in the Netherlands, and I really feel as if it's the epicenter of the New World Order, because we have a huge control grid in place here. We have
And it's small enough for them to implement what you're talking about with impunity.
Yeah, indeed. And this is a small example, but to look at the bigger picture, we have facial recognition cameras in every bus here in the Netherlands, in every train here in the Netherlands, and in every public place like train stations and libraries. This facial recognition software behind it is linked to the mandatory ID cards we have here. We have to carry it on us as well, the national ID card. The photos on the ID card are being made especially to make your face recognizable for those cameras. So I'm not allowed.
Yeah, so even for the older cameras, they're making it so that it's easier for the camera to pick up the signature.
Yeah, they only need the software nowadays. But anyway, I'm not even allowed to smile on the passport photo because they won't recognize my face as.
Actually some articles here that came out. I want to say out of Detroit or New Jersey, maybe. I forget which one. I don't know why I forgot. But that's starting to trickle down here also. And, you know, just a couple of days ago, a report popped out about Chicago PD using the facial recognition grid. They tracked a suspect or they recognized him, you know, using the facial ID, you know, from like some video footage on the CTA, which is the subway. camera systems.
And I've experienced things like this as well in the bus. At one point, the bus stopped at a bus stop, and then police came rushing in, and they immediately arrested someone on the bus because the facial recognition camera recognized him as being some kind of felon who was on the run or something. But anyway, besides that, in our ID cards, we also have the RFID chip. And in the larger cities, the big city areas, they have scanners on every corner which track you. When you walk past those scanners, they automatically track the RFID chip in your ID card. So it's 1984, but worse than that.
It's Minority Report where you're
that's what I was about to say.
Talking to you.
Yeah, Minority Report.
It's crazy, and
it's quite funny.
It's almost, we have pre-crime things as well, and I heard I read the article a couple of days back about if you lean against the window of a train, that they have technology in place to put advertising in your brain, not with actual sounds, but with vibration, which your brain translates to sounds, and it's crazy. They have personalized advertisements, and it's insane. And I hope this is not what the world is going to come to.
That's how the world is already. This is the next level of it. You know, it's not the end of it, but it's the, you know, we're transitioning into a whole new phase where technology has met a critical mass to where beyond the resource control of the system, the technology control has caught up to the resource control to where technology is starting to edge out, the natural order of things. You know, the technological grid has reached a point of where, because if you're trying to start something, you have to have major players involved. So you look at, London is completely covered. You know, they've got New York, Chicago's almost there. You know, the larger cities, as it becomes standard, and the longer it becomes standard, then it becomes the standard, and others start to catch up to that. So, you know, it's already, the same way society moves along, the technology is dragging us there. You know, and if they can implement this whole control grid in, for example, the Netherlands or in the larger cities, all the other cities are forced to play catch up, and that's how you get the rest of the system through, whether it's for
like
better or worse.
One of my lyrics says, it's 1984 multiplied by 9/11.
Right.
If Mussolini was alive, he thought he'd be in heaven. You know, it's like this, and it's pretty crazy.
It's 9/11 times 1,000.
Well, I mean,
interesting is that, you can't smile on passport photos and things like that. Grinning is an act of terror. And it's like, you get busted.
A little bit of joy.
You get busted, and you start saying, you're violating my rights, and the cops go, he thinks he has rights.
I mean, it is laughable at that point, because maybe they do have a better understanding than we think, that they do realize deep down that that we don't have rights. You know, they just don't have a problem with it yet, or see why.
Well,
they should.
I mean,
have
it's just like they're just evil thugs. You know, that's basically it. And they know that they're evil thugs, and they hate humans. You know, it's like they're not even part of the human race anymore, in a large, broad area or scheme of things. You know what I'm saying? And Fritz, I mean, you've actually been in prison for 8 frickin' years because of these scum. I mean, that must leave a lasting impression on you. Because when I got busted, I only spent time in the cells for a couple of hours. And even that small thing, with all the... I gave them a full confession, and they still made up evidence about me in court.
I've seen a lot, but you have to rise above it and not let it take you down. Hey guys, I'm going to go on to some other appointments. It's been great. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'll let you guys continue your discussion. And I'm going to Trent and
yeah, I appreciate
I'm going to keep
it, Fritz.
Going
I'll catch
in
up
my
with
day
you,
to some other appointments. Okay.
Yeah, it was great having you, man. I really appreciate you coming on and talking.
Thanks, Fritz. And I also sent you a message to come on my show in a couple of weeks' time if you're
Thank
keen.
You.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Great job.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so guys, what other thoughts do you have? That you want to get out there, because we're pretty much open at this point. So Guile, you wanted to talk about the cashless society and how it's actually,
taking over the Netherlands. Yeah, it's being implemented here as well. In the supermarkets, half of the cash registers do not accept cash anymore, only cards. And it's pretty crazy, and I refuse to pay with a card.
You know what's really funny? Before you get further, they're pushing that in the United States now. Especially at Walmart, it started with the self checkouts, and self checkout is pretty much in most of the major supermarket chains now. But what Walmart is doing is they've taken, usually on either side of the store, they'll have four self-checkout terminals. And now what they've done is on each side, one of those terminals is reserved for only credit or debit cards.
Indeed. And they have it here as well. They have they also have a new thing. It's the store is called Albert Heijn, but it will probably not ring a bell to you. Anyway, they have you can make a customer profile there, which registers your fingerprint, and then you can use your fingerprint to pay for the things you bought, and it will be directly deducted from your account through your fingerprint. It's pretty insane.
That is pretty wild, and that's ultimately where they want to go with it. And they have it in different forms, because not only is it a control mechanism, but it's also a data mine. And you look at what's happening with healthcare in this country with the push to make people take care of themselves, supposedly. It's really under the guise of eugenics, and they're bringing in all the systems that will allow the governments to basically know exactly what you've eaten, for the last however long, and they'll know literally everything about you. About your physiology.
Well, I remember, what was her name? It might have been Dr. Rima Labo or Aaron Russo, I forget which, saying that they want to get rid of cash just entirely and have everybody chipped and all your money be on that chip. So if you do anything that the government or the bankers don't want, they can just turn your chip off, and then you can't do anything, including buy food.
You can't eat. You can't. Yeah. So there'll be nowhere for you to hide at that point. Well, you'll be able to hide, but you won't be able to live comfortably without addressing, without coming back to the system. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen is they're going to force it's going to feed into that cycle of pushing people towards these mega cities where the police state controls it all, and if you're not part of the good core of citizens, you cannot participate in the technological grid, and people will exist outside of that, living in the sewers or living in, whatever other conditions, that they don't have to put up with that, and it's going to just further drive the wedge in there. So, it's a matter of, it's really now or never at this point.
Is this something I want to say to the listeners? If you're not active, like we are, talking about it all the time, posting about it, going to protests, things of that nature, helping humanity out, advancing us down the course of freedom, I got news for you. You don't have anything to lose.
Right.
They're going to take everything from you unless you protect
at this point, you don't even have to. You don't even have to talk about everything that we're talking about. You talk about what bothers you about what you see, and because that's genuine, people will be like, damn, maybe he's got a point. Maybe I don't really want to have, all my phone calls recorded or be tracked everywhere that I'm driving and have all these points of information in somebody's database.
It's been a law here for years already that all telephone companies and all internet providers, they must store all the information and that data they have of every customer for at least 2 years. It's called data retention law or something. And it's crazy because they can track back everyone and everything's recorded. So it's pretty insane. Every web page you visited, every phone call.
Every keystroke even sometimes. You look at the search box on every website now is tagged with JavaScript so that, every key you type in the box, they have you spelling out your entire search term. That's how the Google suggestion box works.
Well, it goes.
You can get a Star Wars version of that called Jabba Script.
It goes further than this, actually, because Google got this system in place where they know who you are by the amount of keystrokes you make a minute.
Right.
And if someone else is on your computer on your IP address, they will automatically recognize, hey, this is not you, this is someone else, there are two people living there, or whatever, and they make ghost profiles of other people in your home.
Right.
So that they know exactly who lives there and what his or her interests are. And then
between your Google Plus account or your Facebook or whatever else you're logged into, by process of elimination, they know who that person is. So they know who's at your house at that point. You know, Google and all these other countries, they have an incredible amount of information on people that, you know, is hard for people that are not technologically savvy, or even at that, you know, even if you are tech savvy, you know, you may not be able to comprehend it because it's not something you've thought about to a point to where you understand what they're trying to do. And, you know, ultimately this, you know, this grid will, it's already catching up with people in so many ways. And that's, you know, you feel this, the backlash against surveillance and against the police state and against the economic tyranny and, you know, this general feeling of unfairness. A lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that have that are bubbling to a point to where there's going to be a conflict. And, you know, I wanted to ask Fritz about this before he got off, but that's why we're seeing some of these, you know, unbelievable media events is to, you know, to continuously distract people a little bit more, and it seems like to buy them a little bit more time to, you know, to bring about whatever plans or preparations that they're still getting ready. Because, the ultimate point of all this is that, you know, you go back to what you were talking about with the cops and with the way that police are not treating citizens with respect or, you know, even with basic human dignity. And you're respecting the right to not be assaulted. Basically, these are going to become things that it's going to reach the general population more to the point to where they're not willing to participate in the system peacefully. You know, Gal, you talked about how your brother, like the cops got out of a car, you know, an unmarked car, and basically tackled your brother right away. It's like, you know, you're supposed to be able to walk down the street relatively secure in your person. You know, of course, you're supposed to look out for, you know, whatever threats along the way. But, you know, if you're looking at a cop, that's fraud, you know, and deception. And, you know, the same thing that you're supposed to be looking out against, you know, if they're basically hiding, you know, and waiting to jump out at you, you know, on some frivolous charge for nothing.
He was in prison for 3 days in a holding cell. So it's not really a prison, but it's also less comfortable than a prison.
That's basically prison.
€500, which is like $700 or something.
So your life is interrupted. You lose money. You possibly get beat up. And, you know, as these stories spread around, what happens is more and more people are hardened by that. And then, you know, then it feeds on the cops come back and say, oh, well, you know, the public is violent. And so we need to be more violent with them to keep our dominance. And it's like, you know, it's coming to this point of contention.
It's snowballing, the point I've got to make to people about this is there's only one thing that you have to do in order to make sure that the system continues. Do nothing. All right?
Yeah.
Just do nothing. Okay? If you want the system, do nothing. If you don't want the system, don't do nothing. It's very simple. Just don't do nothing. Yeah. Even words, even artwork, even songs, even films, even YouTube channels, even just eating healthy food or giving it or actually telling people that you love them is actually something that destroys the system. And we've got this this bill coming up in New Zealand now called the GCSB bill, like the New Zealand equivalent of the NSA, right? And so they're passing this thing that's basically the equivalent of the Patriot Act, so they can spy and surveil on everybody. And I said to people, there's a protest on it. Next month on the 17th, and I said, if you come to this protest, you can be proud that you didn't lie down and do nothing while your right to privacy was taken away by the GCSB. They say, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about. Well, how about if you tell me I've got nothing to worry about, than you first. Cameras in your bathrooms and bedrooms. Politicians, right. Judges, police, oh, well, GCSB yeah, employees, state intelligence services. Lead by example.
Right.
Yeah, true. And I have something to say to people who say, well, I have nothing to hide anyway, which is the large amount, a large group of people who actually say this. It all depends on who is the controller or the ruler, because as soon as you get a tyrannical government, then you actually do have something to hide all of a sudden. Look at what happened to the Jews in the Second World War. They didn't have anything to hide either, but
except Anne
as
Frank.
Soon as some crazy guy got to power, they had something to hide being Jewish, and then they got put in camps, you know what I'm saying? So it's real.
Are you a decent person? Yes. Well, then you've got something to hide. Are you a law-abiding citizen? Yes. Then you've got something to hide. Are you somebody who gives a frack about your community and your country? Are you a patriot? Yes. Well, you've got something to hide. Trust me. You've got something to hide.
Yeah, true. And also to the people who say, well, I have nothing to hide. Why would you have curtains in your house if you have nothing to hide? You know what I'm saying? Why do you have a door?
Yeah.
Why do you have walls?
I mean, it's not just to keep the draft out, is it?
Yeah, well, you have privacy, like curtains in front of your window.
Absolutely.
And people always have something to hide, so it's not necessarily that they are doing something wrong or something illegitimate or anything. But
you know, that's just the first level of it, and really, it's almost, that's the only level of it. When people are talking about, you know, because when that person says, oh, well, if you have nothing to hide, I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong and you got nothing to hide or whatever, that once that conversation is over, the next layer of that is, well, maybe they're right in exactly what you guys have been talking about, because there is nowhere to go from there. That's the only point of conversation, or the only excuse, you know, that in terrorism, you know, against having all this stuff. And it's like, you know, it's a choice of one, living in fear, and two, of, you know, just being at the mercy of, you know, that system.
Speaking of at the mercy of the system, that's another thing that occurs to me when you're telling us that story about your brother being jumped by the cops. You can't do anything, can you?
Right.
What would
they dominate?
Yeah, and they have the guns, they have the badges, so, and whatever you do, if you go against it firmly, then they will just shoot you or worse or whatever.
The way to expose the tyrants and the system is to make them be a tyrant. You know, like Vinny was saying, just stand up for yourself, say no. Just the word no, or just the word, you know, words that describe, you know, whatever right that you're standing up for.
Know your rights as well, because when police are asking you questions, you're not obliged to answer, you know, and it's
right.
And you have certain rights most people don't even know. And it's really smart if you are being you're afraid of being detained, or if you're at a police stop, or if they try to frisk you or anything, you can just say, well, am I free to go? Ask them questions.
Right.
If you ask them for their badge number and their full name, they are the ones who should be giving it, and they don't have any right unless they have actual suspicion of you for something ask it from you. So that's at least in America and over here as well. Still,
well,
I don't know.
If there's not reasonable suspicion, you know, of a crime being committed, then they're just fishing, and you're giving them information, and then you have given them reasonable suspicion at that
and
point.
And as soon as you, if they ask you what's your name and you say a false name, then they can use that against you as well, because then they're saying, well, it's obstruction of justice, or whatever, you're obstructing an investigation. And so it's better to say nothing to them than to actually lie to them or
ask them, do you suspect me of committing a crime or having committed a crime?
Yeah.
Am I under arrest? No? Well, then I'm leaving now. Oh, no, wait, you can't leave. Really? Am I under arrest? No. Then you can't hold me, so I'm leaving. And just keep repeating that over and over and over again. And here's another thing. Have you ever noticed? cops keep asking you the same question over and over again, it's because the answer that you gave them the first time isn't the one they wanted you to give so that they can bust you. So it means that you've got to keep repeating the same answer over and over again in order to prevent yourself from getting frickin' busted by the cunts.
Yeah, you should make an instruction manual of how to deal with the police.
Well, you know, we're getting long for this particular podcast. Like, I know you've got to go, Guile. Vinny, it was great having you too, man. You guys have any final thoughts you want to throw out there?
And nice meeting you as well, Vincent.
Yeah, nice meeting you too, man. I'd love to collaborate with you on a song at some point, if you can.
Well, it's funny you brought that up, because I'll go ahead and put it out there. There's going to be a WTF music mixtape coming, so... watch out for that. And Vinny, you're more than welcome to be on there. There's a lot of things happening.
Cool, man. I've got like 9 finished songs with myself and my bandmate. You can pick whichever one of them you want from it.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. You know, like I said, there's a lot that's going to be happening soon. So
yeah. Can I just say something in terms of closing statements? I stopped smoking weed a couple of weeks ago, right? And as a result, I have become so full of rage that I can't contain it, and I hate scumbaggery so freaking much. And now there's nothing to calm me down anymore. So fuck the New World Order, okay? And every single piece of crap that fracking supports their fracking agenda, okay? If you support eugenics, frack you. If you support the police state, frack you. If you support lying politicians, scumbags, frack you. If you support Monsanto, frack you. You're a piece of trash, piece of fracking scum. And I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. You should die. You should believe in your own cause of killing humanity so much that you take your own life to benefit us so that we don't have to deal with your fucking Shiite Muslim.
Well, I think, you know, maybe a little more sanely, I need to follow what you've done and just get a little more pissed off, because I'll come up with something. I'll have to watch myself more, but, you know, I definitely think having more rage in doing this is going to be useful. Because it's time to get other people enraged, you know, about the cage that they're in. Go ahead, Guile, because like I said, we're about to shut it down. If you want to throw out your
See you later, guys, and have a good one.
Yeah, please. If you want to throw out your YouTube channel again for people.
Yeah, it's YouTube. You go to YouTube and then type in protest hip hop, one word, protest hip hop, and then you will find it. My artist name is MC Ma'at, which is MC. And then M-A, and then apostrophe. I don't know what?
Yeah, apostrophe, M-A, apostrophe, A-T.
And then A-T. So M-A, apostrophe, A-T. That's it. And you will find it.
All right, Guile, I appreciate it, man. I'll catch up with you. Vinny, like I said, it was great to have you on the show.
Thanks, bro. I'm sorry I kind of, like, flipped out. I'm sorry I kind of, like, flipped out raging there.
It's okay. I understand, because, you know, I get just as pissed off. I'm a quiet outrager for the most part until, you know, it's time for action. And then, you know,
it helps you to build up more energy to fight for the good cause, and it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the right one, because I'm going to go ham on somebody real soon. Just wait. I got a lot of things happening, especially with
this
9/11 campaign. I need you to share the 9/11 campaign, because we're going to do this shit. It's already going... you know, going out to, you know, a lot of different Facebook pages. But, you know, if we start pulling on that, we start unraveling 9/11 further and, you know, get the corpus louder on that. The campaign actually starts on the 23rd, and it's going to run every day through September 11th. You know, so 50 days of just hardcore 9/11 facts, you know, that show what really happened compared to the fairy tale.
Maybe I can contribute something, give new ideas as well. I have a lot of material on 9/11 as well. Maybe
anybody that wants to contribute, you can email us at info@wtfrly.com. That's info@wtfrly.com.
And you can check out my websites, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, Vinny with a Y, Eastwood like Clint Eastwood. I'm live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. In fact, in about an hour's time, I'll be interviewing Jay Widener, James Corbett, and Thomas Sheridan. We're having a psychopath roundtable discussion. It's going to be freaking epic. Getting three big names on together. So, you know, if you want to expose scumbaggery, don't ask for help. Just get the frack out there and do it, man. Nobody's going to stop you.
Right.
Indeed.
Hey, I think that's a good way to cut it off. I appreciate you, Gal. We'll catch you later, man. Vinny, we're going to do this again soon. Like I said, this is the end of the Info Trap, and we'll catch you next time.